You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 530.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hello. Hi, Kevin. What's up?
Hey, yo, nothing.
Really? Same here.
Yeah, good. This will be another short show because we're not doing anything. I did something, though. I went out to another concert. I have my third and final concert report for June for you.
Very cool. I've been looking forward to this one.
I guess it'll be July by the time this comes out. But yeah, I went to 3 shows in 3 weeks. So a little more music talk today is the plan. That's about it, I think. Then we'll get out of here. But first, how about National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
Well, why wait? Let's do some music talk now, because a Flopcast favorite is celebrating a birthday coming up on July 8th.
All right. All music talk today, then.
All music talk.
Let's go. What you got?
Joan Osborne is turning 60 on July 8th.
All right. Well, you knew this was an easy one to...
Yeah. Serve it up a meatball.
That is a meatball. Yes. I think we've made very clear on the Flopcast over the years. I love Joan Osborne, one of my all-time favorites. Turning 60.
Yeah. Co-headliner of the Lilith Fair back in 1997, but still very active today. I think the last time we talked about her was when she was doing her tour with the Dylan covers, right?
Yeah, she did an album of just all covers of Bob Dylan. Beautiful record. She's done so much over the years. And this is another one of those. We talked about Midnight Oil last week, and Midnight Oil is a case where if you remember Midnight Oil in America, you probably just remember one song. And Joan Osborne, absolutely a 90s one-hit wonder.
Yeah, and if you're lucky, you might have heard a couple of her other songs on the radio, like Spiderwebs or St. Teresa.
Yeah, yeah. I discovered Joan Osborne before the big hit, before One of Us. The previous year, I just happened to go to a show, Room Full of Blues, you know, one of those big jump blues bands out of Rhode Island.
I like them.
Yeah, they're great. We just happened to go to a Room Full of Blues shows, and she's the opening act. We walked in, and this girl is on stage, and we were all just shocked because she was amazing. I started going to see her every chance I got after that, and she was still playing like small clubs at that time. This was all before the record came out, before Relish came out, and slowly became a big hit with the big single. And yeah, she was pretty big for, you know, a couple of years in the mid-90s.
You know, interestingly, on Joan Osborne, I kind of come at this from the different angle. I remember her from the mid and late 90s and the big hit, as it were. And I wasn't a huge fan, but I've gotten to hear some of her more recent stuff now, and I like it a lot. I don't think we've talked about her album Trouble and Strife on the show.
Yeah, she's done a lot of interesting records over the years. And even the hit song that got so overplayed, we all got sick of hearing.
That's not her fault.
What If God Is One of Us? That's a really nice song, though. It's just, we've all had enough.
Right.
But it was a big hit song, and rightly so. Written by a Hooter, by the way.
Wait, what?
Written by a Hooter. Eric Bazillion of the Hooters wrote that song.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating.
It all comes back to the Hooters.
Well, I underappreciated her in her heyday, and now that I get the chance to go back and listen to her music, I appreciate it a lot more.
I mean, even back when she was selling millions of records, and she was already in her 30s and had been kicking around a long time. She knew the business. She knew that this was probably it, as far as she wasn't going to be a pop star for long. But she was looking forward to settling into a career where she could do interesting stuff and have enough of an audience to get along. And that's what she's done. You've not seen Joan live, have you?
No, I haven't. I've only gotten to hear stories about you getting to see her.
Yeah, I've seen her live so many times. It's been a few years at this point, but man, one of these days, when things settle down, when in a more normal world, perhaps, someday we'll go see Joni, you and I.
I like the sound of that.
That's the plan. Not today.
Nope.
We're busy. We're podcasting.
We got a whole bunch of flopping around to do.
Let's do that. Yeah, I've got some more music talk for you. I went to another show just a few days ago as we record. And this is a band that you and I have seen together because I went to see Freeze Pop.
Yeah, we saw them at Porch Fest in Somerville. Yeah, we've actually seen them a couple of times together.
Yeah, you came to another Freeze Pop show with me after Porch Fest. That was several years ago.
It was 2015.
Somerville, Massachusetts. They have Porch Fest, where the bands just set up in people's front yards and backyards all over town. But Freeze Pop came back, and, well, this was also Somerville. This was their hometown where Somerville Porch Fest happened. This show was also in Somerville. In fact, they even commented that this venue was 1 minute from their house.
Oh.
This was at the Crystal Ballroom, which we went to last year to see Nikki Lupirelli do her David Bowie burlesque show.
Yeah, up above Somerville Theater.
Freeze Pop was there, so we went back up to the Crystal Ballroom. And I say we, it was just me. The mayor was supposed to come with me, but then she ended up not being available. So I was solo at the Freeze Pop show. Just a creepy guy in a Sleestak mask.
You did not wear your Sleestak mask this time, did you?
I wore a Sleestak mask, yes, to the Freeze Pop show.
Oh, you don't mean...
I was not in a full Sleestak costume like I was an extra on Land of the Lost.
Well, that's still the way I'm going to picture it, Kevin, because I can't not.
I was double masked for this thing because I went with my N95, but then I put my Sleestak mask over that.
Stylish.
Yeah, I'm just trying to freak everybody out.
Nothing says style like Sleestak.
It's a way to tell the people I'm not here to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your distance.
So say it, the Sleestak.
Which they did. The only person who approached me before the show started was Freeze Pop's own Christmas disco Marie Sagan.
Christmas!
Because Christmas was walking by, and even through the Sleestak mask, she recognized that it was me and was nice enough to stop and say hi. Yeah, real nice to have a quick chat with Christmas before the show, and then off she goes. And the first band up was a band that I saw once before several years ago, and they are a synth-pop duo called Telelectrics.
I remember the last time you talked about them.
Yeah, we saw them several years ago. We saw them, how's this for a cool credit? We saw them, they were opening for Men Without Hats.
Yeah! You gotta love a band that opens for the likes of Men Without Hats.
I mean, if I ever opened for Men Without Hats, that's it. I'm done. That's the dream, right? And they did it. They were not a duo back then. As I recall, there were more members of Telelectrics at that Men Without Hats show, but now they seem to have been pared down to a duo. There's a dude with a lot of keyboards, and then there's a woman singing. That's Telelectrics. They're fun. It's just pure synth pop.
Love that.
And that's what I like. Yeah. So they were a perfect band to open a show such as this, opening for our synth pop heroes, Freeze Pop. The second band up was a band I'd never seen before called the Daylilies.
What did you think of them?
Really good. They're fun. Do you know them?
I know the Daylilies a little bit. I don't know their entire catalog, but I have vague familiarity.
Oh, well, if you don't know their entire catalog, then this conversation is over.
Null and void.
The only thing I knew about the Daylilies was that our buddy Kevin Cafferty is friends with somebody in the band. This finally broke the streak of Kevin being at every show that I go to.
Not this one then, huh?
He was not. We were Turksting before the show started. He was not at the Freeze Pop show, but he's friends with the Daylilies. So, you know, it's like he was there. Yeah, Daylilies, on their website, they describe themselves as pop, electronic rock, post-grunge, new wave, and somewhere between Garbage, The Cars, and Low. That sound accurate to you?
Good stuff.
As a Daylilies expert. Up next was someone I'm a big fan of that I've seen live a couple of times before over the years, and that's Carissa Johnson.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about Carissa around here. I discovered Carissa Johnson, it was the night of the Women's March. Remember the Women's March?
Yes.
5 years ago?
pink hats.
Everybody was in their pink hats, yes. As a new horrifying age dawned where everything's the worst, an age which continues to this day.
Yes.
We went to a benefit concert that happened after the Women's March, which Petty Morals was playing at.
I remember that.
Carissa Johnson was also there. We did not know her, but we fell in love with Carissa that night. She was so crazy, super cool. She kind of scared me that night.
No? Really?
I mean, she's like this on stage, just ferocious rock act, like very Joan Jett type. You know, she has a definite Joan Jett pure rock energy to her.
Oh, so what you're telling me is she's super cool.
She's super cool, absolutely. And just she's dressed in all black and her hair's down her face. You can't really see her. But she was up next at this show and with her band. It's Carissa Johnson and the Cure-Alls. And there's just three of them. Carissa's on bass and then she has a ferocious guitarist and drummer. So a very, very kind of punk hard rock sort of a sound live. Now, that said, her studio stuff, a little synthier. I have her new record now. Her new album is called Blue Hour, which I bought from her that night. I finally met her. I'd never met her before. Got the record. She's great. She has some great music videos. So if you look her up, you can watch some fun videos from Carissa. She put out a video like early in the pandemic. She shot a music video where she's just riding her skateboard around Boston, and Boston is empty.
Yes. That would have been the best time to skateboard through Boston. She was on the right track.
Yeah, so a beautiful video, and also, you know, very kind of...
little haunting.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely, because you're looking at empty Boston. So look that one up as well. Great to see Carissa. And then, of course, here comes Freeze Pop to close out the night. And of course, we love Freeze Pop, our local synth pop heroes with keyboards and keytars and synth drums and all that good stuff. And Christmas is singing with that robot voice. You know, she synthesizes her voice through the mic. And they're fantastic, as always. Freeze Pop's new record, which I knew, I guess it came out a year or two ago at this point, but their latest record, Fantasizer, I love. Probably their best album.
Ooh, I don't think I've heard Fantasizer yet.
Fantasizer is good. You will like the new Freeze Pop record. Super fun night, of course. Oh, I forgot to mention also, at the end of the Telelectrics opening set, it sort of turned into a supergroup for their last song because Liz and Christmas from Freeze Pop came out to join them. Plus, one of the dudes from the Daylilies came out with a guitar. And all together, they did Bananarama Cruel Summer.
That's awesome.
I was sort of freaking out. It was quite glorious. And especially because, you know, they're going full Bananarama at that point. You had three women singing together.
Not in harmony.
Not in harmony. Right. That's the key to the Bananarama sound is we are not harmonizing. Everybody sings lead. Go. It's a cruel summer. Then I started thinking about Bananarama, which I feel like I have not thought about Bananarama enough lately.
Oh, you were thinking about Bananarama? This is interesting because I've also been thinking about Bananarama recently.
Good. What led you to think about them?
There is a TV show called Nevermind the Buzzcocks. It is a quiz show about music, primarily music out of the UK. And there is at least one person from Bananarama that routinely appeared on the show as a contestant.
Well, I know they came up on Cobra Kai.
Oh, right.
Because
Cruel Summer.
Well, yeah, in the original movie, yeah, they play Cruel Summer. Cruel Summer was on the soundtrack from The Karate Kid. But then they kind of referenced that in Cobra Kai. I think Cobra Kai season one, Daniel, Ralph Macchio, mentions that he makes Bananarama pancakes.
Yes.
What do you suppose makes a pancake a Bananarama pancake?
I think it has to, A, have bananas in it, and B, have rams in it. That is my guess. That is how you make a pancake Bananarama.
That sounds really complicated and disgusting.
Yeah. It doesn't sound so tasty now that I mapped it out like that.
I looked up Bananarama earlier today because I thought, I don't know anything about Bananarama that I didn't know in 1986. You know, it's been a long time. Because in America, they had three top 40 songs. And that was it.
That was the last we heard of them.
And now all three of those songs were monster hits. They had three songs in the top 40, and also all three songs were top 10. Venus went to number one.
I remember doing aerobics to that in gymnastics class as a kid.
Oh, my. Did you have like a Olivia Newton-John headband?
I did. How did you know?
Leg warmers, the whole look. Nice.
Totally had leg warmers, yes.
Venus went to number one, but there was Cruel Summer, and there was I Heard a Rumor.
Ooh.
That was it. In America, as far as top 40, they were massive in other countries, especially England, of course, and then continued to be. Like, they never really went away in England, although when I looked them up today, their Wikipedia entry begins by saying, Bananarama is an English pop duo.
Wait, what?
And I said, what? Oh, no. What happened?
What? So,
yeah, one of them quit a long time ago. And I forgot this. Siobhan, it was Sarah, Karen, and Siobhan. And Siobhan left in the 80s, in the late 80s, to form Shakespeare's Sister. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there was another band, Shakespeare's Sister. That was one of the Bananaramas. And they brought in another girl at that point to replace her, but she didn't stay for long. And then they've just been a duo ever since.
You would have thought after Shakespeare's Sister, she would have come crawling back.
Well, I guess she did briefly. They did a reunion tour just a few years ago, like 5 years ago. There was a original lineup reunion tour of Bananarama, but they just did that for a year or so. And now they're back to a duo, but they're still around as a duo.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's not going to affect the group's complex harmonies, I suppose.
No. What's one less vocalist in Bananarama?
Going from three to two, if we're all just going to sing the melody.
Two people singing in unison.
And we say that, but it worked for them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It worked. It was not Wilson Phillips. No harmony, all melody, all Bananarama. But that's what we got at the Freeze Pop show, though.
That is a crazy link.
That was very special. So that's my concert report, Cornflake. It was me in a Sleestak mask, and there was a Bananarama song.
Well, I think the Bananarama song alone would have been worth coming out for, but the whole thing sounds excellent.
It was quite good. So we went to three shows this month, which, I mean, we used to go to like three shows a week, you and I.
Yep. But it's a nice change from the more recent no-shows.
Yeah, I've still cut way, way back. I've got, I think, one thing coming up in July, maybe.
I might also have one thing coming up in July.
Oh, okay. Is it Bananarama? Are you going to England?
No, I'm going to go see Shakespeare's Sister, actually.
Nice.
You better hope and pray that I make it safe back to my own world after that.
Make some Shakespeare's Sister pancakes while you're at it.
That's when the batter is shaken and not stirred.
Yes, yes. This is going to be so disgusting. We have a little bit of time because we're keeping this one short, but as long as this is all music all the time for this show, what do you say we go to our book of 80s music while we're on this kind of 80s music run? Go back to that giant book. Remember my book?
Yes. Oh, does this mean we come up with a random number and I get to try to guess what the song is at that number?
Let's try that again. I have a giant book called Ranking the 80s, and they have ranked every song on the U.S. pop charts from the 1980s is in this book, and it's been all mathematically ranked according to popularity. There's 4,000 something songs on this list, but it gets super obscure. By the end of that list, it's stuff that nobody remembers. I'm kind of leaning towards cutting this in half.
What do you mean?
Sticking in, let's say, the top 2,000.
You could do that.
There's over 4,000 songs on this, but it gets so crazy obscure. What do you say we just keep to the top 2,000, which is still,
yeah.
That still gets pretty obscure.
You know, I love a good obscure tune, but we don't have to go completely off the deep end.
Let's stick in the top 2,000 and see what happens. I am going to fire up the Chickentown supercomputer right now, which has the power to generate random numbers. Whatever number we come up with on the computer, I'm going to go to that song in the book. And then, yeah, you like to somehow, based on zero information, see if you can figure out what song we've landed on from the 80s. Let's go, Cornflake. We're going to song number... Oh, no. This is... We're going deep, Cornflake. I set it for between 1 and 2000, and it picked 1804.
Wow. Well, I sure am glad that we didn't end up somewhere in the 3000s or
it could have been much worse. Like it could have been worse if we'd done the whole list.
So what's the number I have to try to guess again?
1804. I'm looking it up now.
Okay, let me know when you're ready for me to guess.
You sound confident, like you've figured it out already.
I've kind of latched onto an idea of what it might be, which is making it so that even if I'm way off base, I can't think of anything else.
Okay, I found the song. Yeah, it's ranked number 1804 for the 80s. Based on that alone, what is your guess?
Well, if it's ranked 1804,
yeah,
that means it's not as obscure as it possibly could be, but it's not a chart topper either.
No, it's not.
Is it Marcia Griffiths' Electric Boogie?
Wow, I don't even know what that is.
The Electric Slide song.
Oh, okay. Don't know it.
You don't know the Electric Slide?
No.
How have you avoided the Electric Slide all your life?
I avoid everything. I don't know. What's her name?
Are you telling me you've never heard the Electric Slide at a wedding?
Not that I know of. What's the name?
Marcia Griffiths.
Marcia Griffiths? I've never heard that name. I'm looking up that song now to see if it's on the list, and it is not.
So there's no Electric Slide?
Maybe it wasn't a single, or maybe it was from the 70s or the 90s or something.
Okay. So I remember it as being from the 80s. It turns out it came out in 1990.
Okay. Well, that explains that.
So that's how I was wrong.
While we're on the subject of electric songs, you've got Eddie Grant, Electric Avenue. You've got Ice House, Electric Blue. You've got Debbie Gibson, Electric Youth. And then there's something by a band called Twilight 22 called Electric Kingdom, which is ranked 3,378. I don't know that one.
I have no recollection of what that is.
Okay, well, there's a good rundown of electric songs from the 80s for you, but let's go back to 1804.
I accidentally guessed a 90s song.
You never stood a chance. Your first hint for song number 1804 is, this is a song that I don't know. The title is not familiar to me, and I'm pretty sure I would not know it if I heard it. So good luck.
Is it?
Yep. Based on that, what do you think it is?
Oh, is it Angel by New Kids on the Block?
That is something that I don't know, so that's a good guess, but no, it is not.
Okay.
Let's see. This song entered the charts in 1982 and peaked at number 31. So not a monster hit.
I have no idea. Womp womp.
The artist is not someone that I would associate with the 80s. This is somebody sort of a singer-songwriter type more from the 70s.
Okay. I have no idea.
Well, how about somebody that did a lot of work with the Muppets?
Oh.
Is it Dr. Teeth? No, it's not.
Is it John Denver?
It is John Denver.
Okay. Yes.
This is a song from 1982 by John Denver that peaked at number 31 called Shanghai Breezes.
Yeah, I did not have a chance in the world of guessing that. And I can't believe I almost said, let's put all 4,000 into this, to the supercomputer, because I'm not even getting whatever 1804 was.
Yeah, we can't even handle the top 2,000. Yeah, I do not remember this at all. Shanghai Breezes by John Denver.
Sounds like a car deodorizer.
One of those little tree-shaped things?
Yeah. Except it's a bonsai.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Mr. Miyagi Shanghai Breeze car freshener.
I'd pay money for that. I would.
Yeah. At Ralph Macchio's car dealership, every car comes with a Shanghai Breezes air freshener.
That would be so perfect.
That must be what the song is about. Yeah, look at John Denver. You know, still charting in the top 40 in 1982. I had no idea.
Me neither.
All his big hits were 70s, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Rocky Mountain High, right? And Annie's Song, all that stuff. And his Muppet stuff.
Yes, he was a very Muppety man.
Now I'm going to look up John Denver in this book to see just how many singles did he have in the 80s. Because wouldn't that be fascinating to learn?
Well, I think we need to know, because how else are we going to come out with a line of car fresheners? John Denver car fresheners. They fill up your senses.
That's a really good idea. Wow. We are going to lose a fortune on this new business of ours, John Denver car fresheners.
We're going to smell like the 70s.
It looks like he had 8 singles that charted in the 80s, and I don't know any of them. Well, perhaps Love is on this, and that, I know that one, but this is Placido Domingo and John Denver singing Perhaps Love. Wow, that sounds nightmarish.
Well, fascinating. I did not expect to learn anything about John Denver tonight, and here we are.
It is fascinating. Yeah, so we don't know the song, but we are about to embark upon a disastrous new business plan. This is what's going to finish us off. Speaking of finishing, Cornflake, let's just get out of here.
Okay. Flopcast.net is our website. Facebook.com/Flopcast is where you can find us hanging out on the old Facebook. We're also on Twitter. Our handle is @Flopcast. And we're on Instagram, the_Flopcast. We highly suggest you head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review so more people can get thinking about what kind of John Denver songs also need to be air fresheners. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness, we're pretty big in England, surprisingly, where we are largely considered a Bananarama tribute band. That's true.
Also a duo.
We are a duo, yes, just like Bananarama.
You become more and more like your idols every day, Kevin.
And we're even worse at harmonizing. Also true. Cornflake, thanks for another goofy Flopcast. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. As always, please be safe, be kind, be silly. Oh, these days, let's say be angry. Mm-hmm. please take care of each other. Black lives matter. Trans lives matter. Women's lives matter. We'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Modern Musicology is a podcast covering topics on rock and pop, ranging mostly from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, with occasional excursions into the 60s and aughts, and even occasionally the 2010s. Anything is fair game. Classic rock, R&B, folk, punk, prog, rap, metal, and way more, with two Americans, one Brit, a ton of fun, and a healthy dose of cynicism.
Say, Cornflake, it's the secret after show. Let's lightning round ranking the 80s again right now. Let's try again, but super quick, because it's the secret after show. But let's pull up another number. The supercomputer is still plugged in and humming and about to explode. So let's go once again. I'm still going to stick within the top 2000, and this time we're going to song number... Oh, no. It's even worse.
Oh, no.
Now it picked 1861.
Wow. The supercomputer has it out for us tonight.
1861. The supercomputer is like in the Civil War era.
So I think I might start by asking for hints this time just to make things fast. Is it something from the early 80s?
This is from 1984. Okay. This is, once again, a song, of course, that I've never heard of. I don't remember this. 1984 peaked at number 33. And it's from an artist who I would consider an 80s one-hit wonder. This guy had a song that we definitely know. But it's not this one.
Is it Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell?
That's a good guess. Rockwell certainly was a one-hit guy of the 80s. And he had another song. Rockwell had another top 40 song besides Somebody's Watching Me. It was really goofy. What in the world was that thing called? Obscene Phone Caller.
Oh, yeah. I think I've heard that exactly once, but it left an impression.
It just barely squeaked into the top 40, I think, because Somebody's Watching Me was huge. And then, yeah, he had his other top 40 hit was Obscene Phone Caller. But that's Rockwell. We are talking about a song. I don't remember the song. A song called The Kids American.
Yeah, I have no idea.
The artist we know from a different song, though. It's by Matthew Wilder.
Oh, okay, so Matthew Wilder did have another song.
It's the Break My Stride dude, right?
Yes. Yeah, my go-to karaoke hit.
Is that really?
Yes.
Oh, no. Well, next time you go to karaoke, try his other song, The Kids American.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.